This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Good morning. Not too bad for early in the week, thanks. Yes, I am looking forward to Halloween, but I haven't dressed up in a costume for a long time. No, I just like giving out the candy and seeing what the kids are wearing. Oh, that's great. Yeah, it may be tough building a Volkswagen costume this year, but it's timely. It's in the news. I think people will get it. Okay, now, if you're somewhat confused as to why it sounds like I'm having a conversation with myself, all will soon become clear as we hear from our guest today, author Peter Gould. His new book is called Marley, and it's a short novella that reads entirely as a one-sided conversation that the narrator has with a woman, the Marley of the book's title. It's left to the reader to fill in her end of the conversation. And we're joined now from our studios in Marlborough by Peter Gould. And don't worry, you will hear his end of our conversation. Peter, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Mitch.
Well, before we talk about this unusual literary tactic that you've used in Marley and more about that story, tell us a little bit about your own Vermont connection. I understand that you can lay claim to being one of the true back-to-the-landers who lived in a commune in Vermont in the early 1970s.
Yes, I actually moved here in 69. It was right at this time of year. I mean, it was autumn leaves everywhere and beautiful blue skies, and I decided I could live here all the rest of my life, and so far I have, 46 years.
Where was this farm, by the way?
Guilford, just south of Brattleboro.
Well, let's talk about Marley. It was so much fun reading this book. I want to ask about how you decided or why you decided to write it this way, this conversation between two people, but you only hear really from one of them.
It was a decision which was made for me. I don't think magically, really, but I was up north in the woods at Sterling College. I was trying to write something funny on the subject of the environment and global warming and climate change, which is not really a funny subject. And all of a sudden, the idea for the voice, the idea for the two characters, the idea for the situation, and the idea for the form leapt into my head. And I said, okay, I'll try it. You know, I'll go with it and see what happens and see if it's a fun thing to write. And then after I was a few pages in, I shared it with the other people in my writing group. And they said, yeah, it works. But I decided I should make it a short novella because I didn't know how much my readers would stand.
Well, it is the kind of thing that you can read really in one sitting. And as you say, that there really is a lot of humor in the story. I don't think it's giving away too much to say that the narrator of the story is a man who sees Marley and is attracted to her and tries to woo her in his own sometimes rather bumbling way. We're privy to the push and pull of this dance. But as you said, there are some pointed environmental themes woven throughout the tale. And is it a stretch to say that large industrial wind projects on Vermont ridgelines do not come across especially well in this book?
I would say that that's true, but I'd say also that it's fiction. I spoke with many people up there who were involved in this discussion on both sides, and like it says on Facebook, it's complicated. We all want to fight climate change, and we want to do it as well as we can. But there were some people up there who were saying, we do not have to have this wind project on our ridgeline. And it seems to me that if we really want to win over the people who are not sure about the struggle for fighting climate change, that one of the best ways to do that would be to really choose the forms that will win over hearts and minds of more people.
I'd love for you to read a sample page from Marley.
Okay. Well, in this scene, he sees her for the first time, and she's a Rasta professor with lots of dreadlocks and tattoos and things like that. And it's certain that he's interested in her. But it should be said that both of the characters in this book are slightly wounded from past relationships which they have had. She's speaking to him first, but of course, as you pointed out, we don't really hear what she says. And he says, "Who, me? Follow you? No, I didn't. I mean, well, yeah, I saw you, but... But you know, I came right up to you from the front. So I'm like, how is that following? Well, I saw you yesterday, too. I noticed you. I was thinking, there's a good look. The work gloves, the tattoos, the dreads, dirty knees. Well, I mean, your mama's probably not showing off any recent pictures of you at her club. But hey, I'll bet you clean up nice. You're welcome. I think you should lose the shorts, though. That's not what I meant. I mean, go and swap them for some others. Because where'd you get them? I thought so. I saw the logo. Did you know that's a survivalist catalog? So when you buy stuff from it, did you know you're supporting Stone Age right-wing gonzos in Idaho with razor wire and pit bulls and AK-47s and four wives in prairie dresses all got the same hairdo? I bet you didn't know that.
Wow. You know, it's so great because you tackle so many of the conventions or let's say stereotypes that you might find in Vermont. You know, people do think of dreadlocks and all that stuff. But the character of Marley comes across as way more complex throughout the story as it moves on. I thought it was also really interesting how you were able to point out the vulnerabilities that both these characters have. We do learn about their pasts, even through this one-sided dialogue. What do you want people to take away from this book, ultimately?
Well, I want people to sit back and have fun with a book that they have never read of this style in this form. It sort of asks the reader to do more work than they usually do, because really, even though he's a funny guy, I think all the best lines are her lines, but you have to make them up. I would like them to take away the idea that it's complicated, that we all have to do all that we can to combat climate change. But in my opinion, in the opinion of the characters in the book, too, they think that the best way to get the maximum number of people on board is to choose forms of alternative energy that more and more people will accept.
So interesting, too, that you say that you really feel like the best lines in the book are hers. And again, We don't actually hear her voice. And one of the things I wondered about, and when you did read this to your writing group, was whether or not you came into any criticism for the fact that we are reading this story and we're getting completely the male point of view, at least of what's printed on the page. We never actually hear the woman's actual voice. Did you get any criticism from people saying that this is just the man's point of view on this whole thing?
Well, you know, I should admit that the book used to be called Chuck, and I gave it to a friend to read, and she said to me, well, I love the book, but you really need to change the title of it, because this book is really not his book. It's really her book. It's about her. And so I'm prepared to accept the things that my feminist friends say, because I'm a feminist too. But we'll see how they feel about it. So far, so good.
Peter Gould is the author of the novels Burnt Toast and Right Naked, which won the National Green Earth Book Award in 2009. And his new book, a novella, is called Marley, published by Green Writers Press. Peter Gould, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Oh, thank you, Mitch. This was really fun.